Hi, it's Patrick Cox here. What happens when you have an English-speaking American and Mandarin-speaking grandparents? How do they talk? Right about the time that I first started working as a reporter in the United States, I had an exchange with a woman I was interviewing. At the beginning of the interview, I asked her to give me some background about herself. This is what she said. I'm part Welsh, part Cherokee, but mainly Basque. What about American, I asked. She gave me one of those, well, aren't you the smarty pants looks? And then she said, born right here in the US of A. I won't attempt the accent. I didn't really understand. I knew that Americans were proud of their ancestry. I wasn't sure why exactly. I'd assumed it had something to do with just a slight unease about being American. Typical European assumption on my part. Totally wrong. This encounter with the Welsh / Cherokee / Basque woman, and many others just like it, they eventually set me straight. The penny finally dropped. It was the opposite of what I'd thought. Americans generally feel American because their ancestors came from elsewhere, give or take some Native American blood. Those ancestors may have arrived as slaves, or in today's parlance, as refugees or economic migrants. But come to this land, they did. And their descendants today, they want to celebrate that. Another American idea, celebrating. One thing, though, that Americans have not included as part of the celebration is the language their ancestors may have spoken. How many Americans today speak fluent Norwegian or Arabic or French or Chinese or whatever it was that their forefathers spoke? Pretty much none of them. Now, people who study what happens to languages in the U.S., they've identified a pattern that's been remarkably consistent over the years, from one century to the next, from one wave of immigration to the next. And it goes like this. The immigrant generation speaks the home language, the language of the place where they've come from, and they struggle, to a greater or lesser extent, with English. The next generation is bilingual, or bilingual-ish. The children make a choice about whether to speak their parents' language. And then, by the third generation, the grandchildren of the people who move to America, the home language is usually lost. There are variations. Some people establish themselves here first, learn a bit of the language, then bring their aging, non-English-speaking parents over. That's closer to what today's episode is about. But even then, the pattern holds. There's a language gap between the foreign-born grandparents and the U.S.-born grandchildren. Recently, things have improved. Americans value heritage languages and bilingualism much more these days. You can see that in the schools with all these new dual immersion school programs where kids are taught in both English and another language, often the home language of the parents. Also, in many states, if you speak two languages, you can get recognition of that. You can get a bilingual seal on your high school diploma. We've done podcasts on this and on dual language immersion programs. They're both indications that language learning and bilingualism is valued in a way that it never used to be. But let's not get too carried away. The English language, it's more of a pull than it ever has been. It's understood all over the world, spoken now by more non-native speakers than by people whose mother tongue it is. If you speak English, why would you ever learn another language? Well, here's a reason. That pattern, that first to third generation pattern of immigrant families losing the language, it's still with us. So just think, how many grandchildren in America can't have a basic conversation with their grandparents? How many? Here's Yue Shaw.
I have a problem. As much as I want to, I can't communicate with my grandpa Ye Ye. He only speaks Mandarin Chinese, and I pretty much only speak English. So our conversations start simple and stay simple. I'll let my sister Yolan, who's in the same boat, demonstrate.
Ni hao, ye ye, which means, hello, grandpa. And then I go, ni jin tian zan ma yang, which means, how are you doing today? He says, hen hao, like in this childish way, like, like, you know, it's like a kid talking to him. So that means, very good. And then I say, oh, bu, that means, are you hungry?
Is that it? Anything else?
Let's see. No, that's it.
And that's repeated every time you see him?
Yeah.
In the late 70s, my parents moved from Taiwan to the U.S., which is where I was born and grew up. Like any good second-generation immigrant daughter, I went to Chinese school and took classes in high school and college. But none of it worked. Even though my parents mainly spoke Chinese at home, I would almost always respond in English. Which is why, at age 27, I still have the Chinese vocabulary of a three-year-old. So my grandpa Ye Ye and I stick to a basic script. In a lot of ways, we're strangers. I'm not sure why it's taken me so long to realize all of this, but I feel like a jerk. Growing up, Ye Ye was the best grandpa. He'd drive me to tennis lessons, teach me how to make dumplings, and cheer me on at piano recitals. I couldn't have been very good. He was the kind of grandpa who offered to take me to McDonald's after school, even if he'd just eaten himself. Considering our history, it's pretty ridiculous we've never had a real conversation. When I recently became aware of the situation, I decided I wanted to get past our language barrier. Ye Ye is 96. I wanted to try and get to know him before it was too late.
So, can you introduce yourself and say your name? And
I wish I could tell you I discovered a new app that helped me magically learn Chinese in time for this interview, but no. I took an old-fashioned shortcut.
I'm Chris Shaw. I'm a loyal husband and nice dad.
I got my dad to translate for his dad.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is I am jealous of my friends who are able to communicate no problem with their grandparents, because they get to ask them lots of questions and they can communicate sophisticated things. Like, they can talk about their work, their school, their love life, and also ask for advice. And, you know, I don't really get to do that with you.
Because of my age, and so I cannot hear that well. And also, when I heard a question, I have to process that in my brain. That process is also very slow.
We never got to my questions about how he met my grandma or what his biggest hopes and regrets are, because we kept going around like this in circles. With each question I asked, Ye Ye kept responding with some version of, "I'm too old."
Yeah, I think we should probably wrap up pretty soon, yeah.
Later, I debriefed with my dad.
I don't know, it just made me really sad. You know, I was looking forward to it, and it seems like it's too late. And I think not being able to speak the same language has also kind of masked how much Ye Ye has aged to me. I feel guilty about not having tried harder and, you know, not putting time and effort right now to trying to learn Chinese.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't have to feel guilty about that.
But I do feel guilty. And it made me wonder if other people out there have the same problem as me. I posted the question on Facebook, and judging by the responses I got, it seems like there's kind of an epidemic among children of immigrants from all over the world.
A typical conversation doesn't last very long.
It's a lot of staring, looking at each other, smiling, nodding.
Have you eaten dinner yet?
She would say, "Are you hungry? Like, do you have to poop?" Like, literally, because, you know, you get diarrhea every time you go to a country like India.
I would try to ask her what she did that day, but I think she couldn't understand my accent.
Yes, we never really could have a full conversation.
It didn't even occur to me that that was weird.
Talking to other children of immigrants, what struck me most was just how bewildered everyone was. Why was this happening? Why do we put up with it?
Well, I think we don't have to put up with it.
I talked to this educational linguist, Nelson Flores, and what he said kind of blew my mind because it explained everything.
I think what happens sometimes is that children of immigrants have extra expectations on what their proficiencies in the home language should be, so they don't even try to make the effort because they have this kind of extra embarrassment that goes along with it.
In other words,
a self-reinforcing vicious cycle.
But I always tell people that I talk to that are in similar situations that if you understand the language, then the language is already there inside of you. And it's just a matter of releasing it and letting it out.
Like, the power is within you.
Exactly. The power is within you if you believe.
The power may be within me, but time just isn't on my side. Even though I was bummed about my conversation with Ye Ye, I remembered I still had a chance to talk to my grandma Wai Po, my mom's mom. She lives in Taiwan, and I don't get to see her much, which is why I sometimes forget about her. Luckily, my mom was in Taiwan recently, so I tried the parent as translator trick again.
Hey, Yowei.
While talking to Wai Po on Skype.
Mommy, you have to translate everything she says.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I asked Wai Po if she thought we had a communication problem. And the amazing thing was that she thought we had lame conversations, too.
I would ask, how are you doing? And, you know, recently, are you eating well? You know, things like that. I haven't really going to any serious conversation with you guys. I really feel very disappointed.
Aw, we feel the same way then. Here's kind of a big question. Do you feel like we really know each other? Like, do you think we really understand who each other is as a person?
我所了解的就是表面的。 I only know you from the outside appearance. As far as the deeper things, then I can understand. Not really understand me from the inside.
My grandma and I clearly agreed about the issue. So now we just had to fix things by talking. But how do you get to know a stranger in just one conversation? And then it hit me. This was like a first date for Wai Po and me. So I turned to the one place I had experience with for getting to know you date night questions.
What are six things you could never do without?
OkCupid, of course.
I like to spend time chatting with my friends over the phone or even visit them. And the second thing will be 看电视, okay, watch TV. The third one will be having sweets.
She could only come up with three, so we moved on to the next question.
What do you think you are really good at?
I feel that I'm very good at crafts, and I can do the 中国节, Chinese knots.
Traditional decorations you hang on the wall.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now in my living room. I had no idea that Wai Po made that. Oh, can you tell her that I love it very much and I get lots of compliments? I actually had no idea she made it.
Then I asked Wai Po if she wanted to know anything about me.
She wants to ask you, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you have a boyfriend and are you guys serious?
Yes, I have a boyfriend. We have been dating for about a year. Do you want to know more about him?
Wai Po asked me what my type was, and I gave her my list of qualifications, which apparently satisfied her. Because after that, she didn't have any more questions for me.
Yeah. I think she's concerned about this and she now can rest in peace. She's very happy and contented.
I wanted to speak the same language as my grandparents because I thought they would somehow bear their souls to me and I would get to know them deep down to their core. Instead, the conversation with my grandma ended up being pretty mundane. And I loved every minute of it. As for my grandpa, even though we failed to have a real conversation, I realized this quest wasn't only about language. It was about the grandparent-kid relationship. We all grow out of it at some point. In my case, I just didn't have the language skills to start having grown-up conversations. And anyway, it's too late for that now with Ye Ye. I'll just have to find a new way to connect, without language. The way my grandpa did all those years when I was a kid. When I talked to my sisters for this story, there was one particular time when my grandpa really shined.
Yaya walked into my room in the morning and caught me in bed with a guy.
That's me telling the story.
Like just sleeping with my boyfriend at the time. This is in high school. I just remember being really shocked, and I jump up and I like go to Yaya. And I can't say anything because I don't know how to, like, say... I don't know how to make an excuse or lie. Which I later do to Daddy. But, like, I don't know how to lie to you because I don't have good enough Chinese. And he just sort of looks at me and he gives me a hug and says, I love you.
Oh my God!
That was it. Oh, that was it.
See, this is why. This is why maybe we don't need the language.
I really hope my sister Yolan is right.
Yowei Shaw is an independent radio producer in Philadelphia. The music for this story was composed by Alex Lewis. It was recorded by Kyle Pulley at the Headroom Studio in Philadelphia. Links to all of these people at pri.org/language. Also, photos of Yowei and her family with some very nice additional artwork by Emily Yao. This podcast is on Facebook. There's a World in Words page. I'm on Twitter. My handle is PatriCox, PatriCox. Thanks for listening. I'll be back soon. Or Nina will. Or both of us, maybe. See you then.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.